Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 869 in Isleta Pueblo, I'm Tara Gatewood. A year after the pandemic shut down most tribal tourism ventures, some tribes are welcoming travelers back to casinos and allowing them to take in cultural experiences with some restrictions. But tribal tourism experts say tourism has changed significantly, at least for the near future. Some of what's in store are opportunities that could be pushing open new doors. Today we'll talk about the current state and future of tribal tourism. We go live right after National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals released an extensive opinion on the Indian Child Welfare Act after deliberating for more than a year. Victoria Wicks has more.
The Indian Child Welfare Act, known as ICWA, has undergone a thorough and multifaceted scrutiny in the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. The resulting 325-page opinion upholds aspects of the federal law championed in 1978 by South Dakota Senator James Aberesk. The law's intent is to stop the erosion of tribal autonomy and culture when Native children are placed with non-Native families. But the appeals court finds that Native preferences for foster care and adoption violate constitutional protections for equality and that the law infringes on states' rights and responsibilities in matters of adoption. This appeal came about after a Texas federal court found ICWA to be unconstitutional. A three-judge panel at the Fifth Circuit reviewed that decision and ruled 2-1 to overturn the lower court. Appellants then asked for an en banc review, which in this case involves 16 judges. After deliberating for more than a year, the Fifth Circuit has now released its complex opinion. In it, some judges agreed unanimously on certain points, but not on others. In some issues, judges tied 8-8, and without a majority decision at the appellate level, the lower court ruling stands. This opinion is binding only on lower courts within the Fifth Circuit, which comprises Texas, Louisiana, and Mississippi. If the U.S. Supreme Court takes up the inevitable appeal, that resulting opinion will apply nationwide. For National Native News, I'm Victoria Wicks in Rapid City, South Dakota.
Tribal attorneys have been wading through the more than 300-page ICWA decision. The Mountain West News Bureau's Savannah Marr brings us some of their reactions.
The Fifth Circuit broadly upheld ICWA's constitutionality. Chrissy Ross Nemo, who's Deputy Attorney General for the Cherokee Nation, says that's the major takeaway.
For tribes, overall, this case was a victory in that it found that federal Indian law is constitutional, that it's based on political status of the tribes and their members and not based on race.
Nemo says a ruling to the contrary would have upended federal Indian law as we know it. And she says that for now, the ICWA provisions that the court struck down will only impact a small jurisdiction in Texas. But Georgine Lewis, general counsel for the Pueblo of Tusuque, is concerned about an appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court.
I just think with all the criticisms that have been made that it could be eroded, and some of these protections that would ensure reunification with the child's tribe might not be there anymore.
Lewis is also a state representative in New Mexico. This year, she sponsored a state-level ICWA statute to protect against challenges to the federal law, but that bill didn't survive the 2021 session. In light of the Fifth Circuit ruling, Lewis says she'll keep pursuing the issue. For National Native News, I'm Savannah Marr.
A coalition of tribes is calling on the federal government to restore and expand Bears Ears National Monument in Utah to 1.9 million acres. The Navajo Nation, Ute Indian Tribe, Ute Mountain Ute, Hopi Tribe, and Zuni Tribe are leading efforts to protect Bears Ears. Tribal leaders hope Secretary of the Interior Deb Haaland will take their message to President Biden, especially with her knowledge of tribal ways of life. Zuni Pueblo Lieutenant Governor Carlton Bawakati spoke about Bears Ears during a meeting with Haaland in Albuquerque.
The only difference between other secretaries and other people that have been there is that you understand that. You were born with this knowledge of what it means to be part of this earth.
Tribes are seeking protection of the ancestral and cultural area from looting, vandalism, and development. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
For Native Americans affected by domestic violence, the Strong Hearts Native Helpline offers peer-to-peer support and resources. It's safe, confidential, and toll-free at 844-7-NATIVE. Program support by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center. Support by Ramona Farms, offering wholesome and delicious foods from our heirloom crops as our contribution to a better diet for the benefit of all people. We are honored to share our centuries-old farming and culinary traditions online at ramonafarms.com.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood, joining you live from my homelands, Oshirwa-Tui. At the Cherokee Natural History Museum in Oklahoma, visitors can experience interactive exhibits telling the story of the Cherokee Nation. And today, their museum is open with limited capacity and safety measures. But other tribes, like the Yakima Pueblo, have chosen to keep major attractions, including their casino, closed because of the pandemic. The pandemic has forced many tribal tourism officials to get creative at museums, public cultural events, and fairs have also shut down. Now they are working on strategies for what comes next. And today we'll hear from experts about plans for a post-pandemic tribal tourism world. And we'd like to hear from you too. Are your tribe's tourism ventures struggling? Are they opening back up? Call us and share. The number to join us is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And joining us today from Tulsa, Oklahoma, is Travis Owens. He is the director of the Cherokee Nation Cultural Tourism. And Travis is a citizen of the Cherokee Nation. My pleasure to have him here. Welcome to Native America Calling, Travis.
Thank you so much for having me today.
And so, Travis, we're curious about what's going on there in Cherokee, and tell us about some of the cultural attractions that are happening there on the Cherokee Nation.
Sure. So, yeah, our Cherokee Nation cultural tourism sites, including museums, welcome centers, and gift shops across our reservation, opened up back to the public with enhanced safety protocols beginning last August, August 5th. And so since that time, we've had visitors come in from within the state and around the surrounding areas. And, of course, following all of our social distancing guidelines, including mask mandate, limited capacity for all of our public buildings. So we've been welcoming visitors back since this August.
And before the pandemic, how busy would you be right now, especially as spring is opening up?
Well, this year is extremely different, although our sites have opened back with extreme health and safety protocols. Compared to a normal year, we would have flurries of education tours and motor coach groups and people from all across the country and world visiting us. Today, we have such limited capacity within our sites, reduced to keep guests and team members safe, that it looks a little bit different. So we've transitioned all of our programs online to virtual format. So we're now able to share those with even a broader audience than could experience in a given day. So in some ways, our in-person visitation, is notably declined from a normal year, but our reach with virtual programming has seen a dramatic increase.
And so, Travis, just knowing the comparison between years before and what's going on now, I know the intent of what you're doing there is to educate the public as well as people who do have Indigenous heritage, and specifically even for the Cherokee Nation, is to create awareness and understanding. And so, Travis, I'm sure that has not changed, that mission of wanting to teach and share and encourage culture. And in shifting to some of these other forms, what has also changed, or has it even opened up even more opportunity?
Yeah, I think it's been an interesting journey, as I'm sure everyone else has experienced across, the nation and the world, really. But yes, our mission is to promote and preserve and to share authentic history and culture with citizens and visitors. And so just what you said, we've taken a shift from, that relying on in-person to a physical setting to, which we still offer safely. But we've taken that shift and that step into a virtual world where our reach has been exponentially expanded. We've been able to connect with audiences that we, before had not. So in some ways, it's pushed us to, virtual experiences where I would say we were slow to adapt prior to pandemic. And I think generally cultural tourism and tourism in general has been because, we think of tourism as experiences that people have at places. And so, but I would say that's been a really positive thing is we've now, I don't see that going away. I see, us continuing post-pandemic, if we can, vision that, that I think that we will keep and maintain, some sort of virtual opportunity for visitors, guests, citizens to experience Cherokee Nation history and culture because it allows us to reach a group that we probably wouldn't have been able to reach and it allows us to, continue that conversation once they leave our site. So if somebody's coming from out of state, they may only come back every couple of years, but now we have an opportunity to engage with them once they come and visit us and far thereafter. So I think that's been a benefit.
And so, Travis, there may be people who are a little apprehensive about getting out and getting to certain places. Anything you want to share with people who they've been dying to go there and see things going on there in Cherokee, but are a little bit worried? What's your message to people like that?
Yeah, I think I understand their concern. And, Cherokee Nation has been very proactive in response to the pandemic, beyond just our cultural tourism and hospitality offerings. So Cherokee Nation has tried very, very hard and been very proactive in creating the safest environment possible for our visitors, but more specifically our team members and our guests. So, I think we're a safe alternative for folks that when they're ready and they want to come experience the site safely or want to experience our history and culture safely, we provide that opportunity, that venue to do so. Again, on a limited occupancy basis, so we don't have large crowds of people or large groups. We're still very strict about our protocols. We take them very seriously. And, we still want to provide an authentic experience. It just looks a little different today. So I'd say if folks, are eager to get out and come see us, we can ensure their visit is as safe as possible. But we also welcome them their visit, in the future when things may look a little bit different.
In the decision to open up, and I know this decision and conversation is going on across the nation for different reasons. And when we think specifically about tourism or things that are bringing people, visitors to our community, there's a lot to consider. And so, Travis, being able to open up, what were some of the things that you talked about, especially making sure that everyone would feel safe, including the employees?
Yeah, so I think we followed kind of industry-leading guidelines for safely reopening, including complete enhanced safety protocols, cleaning, sanitation, mask mandated for guests and employees. Those mandates are still in place today. And we really followed the leadership of Cherokee Nation, which has followed the leadership and guidance, been informed by, some of the top health professionals within Indian country. And so, I think with Cherokee Nation's support, we were able to reopen, I would say successfully. There have been issues over the since reopening, but we've had a really positive experience for both team members in terms of health and safety and our guests. So I think it's been a really positive opportunity for us to continue to educate. And of course, we talk about reopening, that goes beyond just our physical locations. We've been sharing these virtual programs with our community and with our visitors and citizens alike since the beginning of the pandemic. And so really although we closed and the majority of the offerings of Cherokee Nation, much like a rest around the rest of the world and specifically the nation, we continue to offer authentic programming online that connected with visitors. So, reopening, we opened our physical sites, but we've continued to try to keep people as safe as we can.
And I'm also curious, because I know a lot of times these different places that are teaching about our Indigenous cultures is a destination site not only for visitors and tourists, but also school children. Is there anything you can share about opening the doors to schools?
Well, we are not ready to welcome large groups of visitors back in. So we still have those reduced capacities I mentioned, and we're not open for group tours at this time. But what we can offer to schools, and we continue to do so, is we have educational resources available, with both that could be taught in school, education curriculum. And then a really exciting thing that we launched last summer, is we actually launched all of our museums through a virtual tour program. So on our website, folks can go visit us, any of our museum virtually through a 3D tour. And so that added with our opportunity where, traditionally we do make and take activities for school-aged children within our sites. Now we have a virtual program that's available online with instruction, and then we have kits that the parents or kids or schools can come pick up, and they can take that and do that craft in the safety of their own environment. So we've really tried to maintain that programming to the school-aged children, but just in a different way. And I think that's something we will continue to do.
And I think this is something that a lot of people have definitely taken advantage of the virtual experience that a lot of these, cultural centers have been putting out there for folks to experience some of this, and just even museums in general. And so today we are thinking about what has changed in the tourism industry, those places on our tribal nations that often invite visitors in, maybe even open spaces on our tribe. And we want to know how things have shifted and what about opening things back up. You can share your thoughts by dialing in today. 1-800-996-2848 is a number. Phone lines are open. If you're missing the Powwow Trail this year, the next Native America Calling is for you. On our next program, we're opening up the discussion to dancers, MCs, and others to talk about the past year without in-person powwows and ways people have filled the void of not being able to physically step into the dance arena. Make plans to join us.
Cancer can be scary. Healthcare coverage is your partner. To ensure your access to the treatment you need, you're not alone. Contact your local Indian healthcare provider for more information. Visit healthcare.gov or call 1-800-318-2596. A message from the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Service.
You're listening to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Masota Pueblo, and we are hearing about tribal tourism today. The pandemic seemed to cripple most tourism ventures, but some areas are slowly opening back up, and tribes are preparing for a post-pandemic tourism world. And what is the status of your tribe? Has tribal tourism opened back up? What would you like to share about that? Dial in now. The number is 1-800-996-2848. We took you to the Cherokee Nation to hear a little bit about how this looks. And right now, we're going to go to Newtown, North Dakota. On the line with us is Darian Morset, and he is Executive Director of the Mandan Hidatsa Arikara Tourism and the President of the North Dakota Native Tourism Alliance. And Darian is Mandan Hidatsa and Arikara. Our pleasure to have him here. Darian, welcome to Native America Calling.
Thank you for having me today. Appreciate it.
And Darian, we heard what's going on in Cherokee. What about there at your nation and in terms of opening things back up and thinking about tourism. Tell me a little bit about how it's been and where things are.
All right. For the MHA Tourism Department, we've had a year of shutdown, of course, where we planned for our upcoming year, which would have been, I'd say our last year would have probably been one of our best years, but with COVID-19, we had to push back. And we are opening again, like in August, we started, you know, allowing people back into our Earth Lodge Village, which is one of our attractions. And there we have like six Earth Lodges, one large ceremonial lodge, which has a cultural interpretation, and that's where we do our education and other facilities out there. But we're open to smaller groups where we're not allowing the busloads to come in yet. So we will be taking reservations on our new website that we're building right now.
And so the things that are offered there on the nation give people a better view, better understanding of just who your nation is and the people and the culture and, of course, the legacy of knowledge as well as the things that come out of there, things that, you know, oftentimes people seek is the artwork. And so, Darian, what kind of precautions are you taking or is the nation taking to make sure that when tourism opens up and as things begin to invite people, as, you know, events and places begin to start invite people in, what are some of the precautions that are being taken?
Well, our Tribal Business Council put in place a resolution that mandates mask wearing for all tribal entities, businesses, programs, and that's still in effect. So we have to wear our masks, signage and education. We follow the MHA COVID task force recommendations and policies. So we're keeping everybody safe as we can, spacing, social distancing. And that's where I think we've taken a hit, but the COVID numbers have dropped tremendously here. So with all the precautions we're taking here and following the CDC guidelines, tribal and, you know, state, we're able to slowly start transitioning back into opening up, you know, because we have a new interpretive center that will be opening up here in May. So that's a new development, and I know we'll have our guidelines in there. Certain amount of people coming in, limited capacity, but still we have our outdoor facilities where people are looking to go more to an outdoor setting and enjoy themselves after being, you know, more or less, you know, stay at home order. So we offer that to them in our wide open spaces. You know, they can come out and hike and bike, canoe and kayak, you know, so we're accommodating them that way with outdoor recreation also. And we still are focusing on educating the visitor that comes in, the visitor that travels and wants to know and hear about our culture, our traditions. We have that capacity yet where our interpretive guides will allow so many in, fully masked, sanitizing, and they're still interested in our culture. That's a big draw for the tourists that are coming in now, locally, regionally, and nationally.
Mm-hmm. And Darian, you said the Interpretive Center. What is going on there? And when you're in full swing, what are people going to be able to access?
Oh, well, it's a state-of-the-art facility of the Mandan Hidatsa Rikra tribe. You will get to know our history. You'll get to know, taste our foods there. You know, that's another thing we do at the Earth Lodge Village is we have traditional meals. But you'll also be able to go and record if you have knowledge that you want to pass on, you can sit in this new interpreter center and record yourself. You can sit and go into the archives and listen to our history. So it's a huge state of the art facility.
And Darian, we have heard and we continue to hear people are getting creative to try and offer things that they could before the pandemic. And so when it comes to tribal tourism and thinking about shifting our mind about how to participate in tourism or going and visiting places, what are your thoughts about just how things have really changed and how we move forward and maybe things we've learned? Anything you want to share about that and how that applies to tourism?
I know we focused on the inbound and domestic tourism, and that's where our strength was, and we still have it. But the virtual reality part of this, we have to move into that. You know, we're still in the process of getting our website, which should be up and running within a week. And we'll start educating. We'll put educational material on there. They'll be able to go online and interact with MHA Tourism and possibly book a reservation and come out and do the hands-on activities within the safety guidelines. So we're still going to go ahead and educate, but we still have safety as number one.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear that. And Darian, do you have any advice for others who are in this industry, people working for their tribes who are struggling to get their tourism ventures up and running?
I would say be creative. We have to be really creative in how we promote this, our tribal tourism departments. Educating them is a huge factor for tourists to come. So developing, you know, even if you just do simple handouts for now until you can get up your virtual sites, get your websites rolling, get your social media, you know, posts out there, and just letting them know that you are being safe as possible. And the communities themselves, like we got a Newtown also, you know, the Chamber of Commerce buy in with us. So we're not just promoting a big event and we're still under the COVID-19 pandemic, even though a lot of people have been vaccinated. So vaccinating and, you know, following the guidelines is the most important to get your tourism operation going again. And then it's very important to follow that completely, because you do not want the pandemic to spike in your community after you have an event.
Yep,
so following
certainly.
The CDC mm-hmm. guidelines on events and gatherings is very, very important.
And Darian, I know there are other things that bring people to the nation. Gaming is another big one that we know happens. Is there anything else you want to share about other ventures going on in the nation and just how they've been impacted on your nation, impacted by the pandemic, where usually tourists are flocking to or just straight up visitors to our nations, even fairs and powwows, anything else?
Yes, the COVID-19 impacts on tribal tourism, tribal gaming in the first 2 weeks of closing in April 2020, $1.5 billion was lost in economic activity. That's gaming and non-gaming revenue to casinos. Tribal tourism, 296,000 people out of work, $332 million of lost wages, approximately $240 million in lost taxes and revenue shared by the federal government, state, and local governments. Even the local artisans, the people that are doing arts and crafts, have lost income. You know, our powwows were shut down, so loss of revenue in each community was, you know, drastically impacted. And our elders, who are knowledge keepers, had to more or less stay away or quarantine because they're vulnerable to the COVID virus. But, you know, the future of tribal tourism starting up is, again, limiting, you know, the visitors, you know, capacity at a certain area. And right now, just focus on local and regional travelers that will come back. And they're looking for the outdoor experiences. And I think that that's going to be a key for us right now. And follow
sure.
the health
and
safety protocols.
Are important. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's interesting to just think about all of this. And a lot of times when we focus on business, we're thinking about individuals and their own enterprise and what they're working on. But this is also a part of it, too. And it affects our native communities and sometimes in a big way, especially when we talk about gaming. Travis, thank you for sharing a little bit about what's going on in your nation. Now we're calling on you, our callers. If there's anything, or our listeners, if there's anything you want to share, maybe you have been a part of some of these discussions on just how do you bring people back to the community to enjoy and to learn a little bit about your nation, you can give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is a number. And if your ears perked up when I said powwow, tomorrow, a full discussion about it. Make sure you make time for that and call in early. Also here, too, joining us on the line is Seleni Mattis, and she is the Executive Director of the International Institute of Tourism Studies at George Washington University. She joins us today out of Washington, D.C. Thank you for giving us your time today, Seleni. And tell us a little bit about the work that's being done with your organization, especially supporting tribal tourism. Welcome. Go ahead, Seleni.
Well, thank you so much, Tara. Thank you for having me today. So there's been a lot happening. You know, the world has definitely changed so much over this past year and required so much adapting. And that has been really the focus of our work. So the Institute supports technical assistance projects that the Office of Indian Energy and Economic Development within sort of the broader Bureau of Indian Affairs has been supporting under the Native Act. And so we've been working with Darien and leaders in North Dakota as well as South Dakota. And this past year, of course, has been challenging, but there's been so much resilience shown. And so there are a couple things that we've been working on that I think would be very sort of interesting to share with the audience. I think there's so much that has occurred that can be replicated by others as well. So one of the first things that we did was to look at all the experiences that existed and to try to ensure that those experiences could be offered online. And so very early on, this was, you know, over the summer of last year, we did a series of training sessions with our partners in both North and South Dakota, and then also work with collaborators in Montana as well as Virginia, and to invite all those Native American entrepreneurs that were interested in learning how to take their experiences online. Naturally, we ran this session, so it was George Washington University in collaboration with Virginia Tech because they're working in Montana and Virginia. And so we got a real very dynamic critical group of Native American entrepreneurs that went through the program, and that resulted in the launch of a series of experiences on Airbnb experiences. So in addition to Airbnb offering all the accommodation options, they also offer curated experiences. And so now there are several, there are at least five different experiences that that you can book through Airbnb experiences that were the result of the training sessions that we ran. So that demonstrates, you know, the all the opportunities that can come about from thinking about how to take what you're doing live currently to to the online world. And so we've heard Travis mention, all the excellent educational programming that they've transitioned. The same with Darian, with their website and, being able to book through the website. And I think this is what has occurred this past year, that we have just learned to use technology much more efficiently. As hard as that may have been in the beginning, I think we've broken through so many walls and are in a much better space now and have good things to show. Another thing that we did over this past year as well was in South Dakota, unlike, let's say, Cherokee Nation and even the work that Darian has done at MHA, there are tribes that are just starting their tourism experience. And so the majority of the tribes that we're working with fall within this category, which means that they're just getting tourism off the ground. And so in South Dakota, what we did was pivot the work all online. And so there's a network similar to North Dakota. It's called the South Dakota Native Tourism Alliance. And it consists of about 50 organizations, mostly tribal representatives from all the 9 federally recognized tribes in South Dakota, as well as non-native state and federal partners that are in this network.
And Selene, we got to go to break here, and I do want to continue hearing more, but just hearing how many nations are being brought together in this way, a lot of times sharing ideas, really is beneficial, especially in charting, new waters and thinking about coming together and thinking out loud and how to move forward and how to keep communities safe. I'm sure there are some really important dialogues that have gone on. Hang tight. We'll be right back after the break.
Smoking gave me COPD, which makes it harder and harder for me to breathe. I have a tip for you. If your doctor gives you 5 years to live, spend it talking with your grandchildren. Explain to them that your grandpa's not going to be around anymore to share his wisdom and his love. I haven't figured out how to do that yet. I'm running out of time.
COPD makes it harder and harder to breathe and can cause death. You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Thanks for tuning in to Native America Calling. We appreciate you spending your week with us. Today, we are focusing in on tribal tourism, and we want to hear what's going on in your nation. Give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And before the break, we introduced you to Selene Mattis, and she is the executive director of the International Institute of Tourism Studies at George Washington University. Selene, thank you for being with us. And go ahead, continue to finish about bringing people together and alliances being made. Go ahead.
Thank you so much, Tara. And you did such a wonderful job at, providing a great summary of all the great things that can come about, through networks. And this is one of the things that we've recognized, actually, that in this period, where we've been forced to really sort of isolate in a way, moving our networks online provided such a wonderful opportunity to ensure that there was ongoing dialogue. And in the height of all the difficulties that everyone was sort of experiencing and living through last year, we had our, all the members of this network show up month after month, to keep looking forward, to keep exchanging ideas and to agreeing to what these priorities would be for how to ensure that tourism could be used, continue to be used as an economic sort of development strategy in their tribes. And so what one of the important outcomes of these conversations was a 5-year plan for all 9 tribal nations in South Dakota. And so this is something that, all the tribes and representatives of the tribes are so proud about. And, one of the basic elements of the plan that I think sort of summarizes what we're discussing here is education, right? And so in the vision cast by the 9 tribes of how they'd like to use tourism to sort of foster deeper economic development in their places, education was at the center of it. So it's not just any tourism, right? It's tourism that has a high level of interpretation that is able to ensure that the tribes control the narrative about sort of the history, and also to ensure that gateway communities and, you know, the U.S. and visitors from throughout the U.S. and beyond the U.S. really understand the living culture of all these amazing places in the Dakotas.
Sure. And, you know, we know that all of this relates on many levels, and we have a large listening audience, especially people right there in their own tribal community. And as the pandemic started to unfold, here we are a year later. Was this one of the things you were worried about? Maybe your tribe has been struggling and they really depend on tourism. What has filled that void? And what about moving forward? Anything you want to share, tribal leaders, if you're out there too, go ahead and dial in. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And also joining us today out of Albuquerque, New Mexico, is Gail Chihak, and she is a Tribal Relations and Outreach Manager for the American Indian Alaska Native Tourism Association, also known as IANTA. And Gail is from the Klamath Tribes. Our pleasure to have her here. Gail, welcome to Native America Calling.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And Gail, I know that IANTA does a lot of work, and over the years, we've learned just how much effort you all have been putting into creating tribal tourism, you know, or even supporting tribal tourism, and even helping people think out of the box or figure out new ways to bring people in. And it seemed like a really great ball started rolling, and things were developing. And then here we go, a pandemic. What have you seen on a national scale of just how much all of this has impacted the tourism industry, and how are tribes coming out of it?
Well, of course, it's been a huge impact on all of the tribes across the nations. Many of them have had to shut down, and only a small percentage are now open. And when the pandemic first hit, one of the first things that we did was our CEO, Sherry Rupert, started a weekly message to the tribes where she talked about resources, what people were doing, what some of the policies that were being developed were nationally, so that people could keep up with what was happening, so that people didn't feel quite so alone out there. Then the second thing we started doing was calls to the tribes. We started doing virtual meetings with tribal leaders, finding out about how the pandemic was hitting them, what their needs were, and also just gathering more information about what they did have available and what they were interested in developing. So we've actually, it's helped us be more in contact with the tribes and gather more information. We've also surveyed our tribes. We have a survey that's out right now asking them what they see as the future for the tourism industry in Indian Country. And out of that, 68% feel like it's going to be much better this next year. 20% actually think it's going to be better than pre-pandemic times. Most of them think they'll be, well, about 20% think that they'll be open within the next 3 to 6 months. And 47 of them expect to have a large increase from the regional visitation. And that's one of the things that we've been talking to tribes about, is being prepared for domestic travel, because that's going to be the first wave of visitors that come through. It's going to take a while for us to get back to the pre-pandemic international visitor attendance that we had in the past, which has been growing dramatically during the past few years.
And Gail, something, go ahead, finish.
Oh, no, that's okay. Go ahead.
And something that I was thinking about, you know, preparing for this show, and when we think about tourism and a lot of things that were going on when things, you know, rates start going up, and a clear indication that the coronavirus was spreading, a lot of tribal nations closed down. And, you know, there was a little bit of pushback from people who were used to going to some of the open spaces on our tribal nations. And some people were pretty burned and steamed about that. And so now we get to a point where we're saying, okay, it's time to open things back up again. And how, what kind of impact is that going to have on tribes, do you think? Or how do you mend those kind of wounds of being told, nope, you can't come here? And then now we're saying, we're open, please come back. Anything you want to share? And before we do move on, I do want to know, add a note of disclosure. The American Indian and Alaska Native Tourism Association has been a financial sponsor of Quantic Broadcast Corporation, which is Native America Calling's parent company. So, Gail, your thoughts on that?
Well, one of the things that we've been looking at, Darian actually mentioned the outdoor outdoor tourism is going to be increasing. And that's already happened. Once travel was lifted a little, people went to the reservations. And actually, one of the sad things is that we've seen a major impact from that. People aren't cleaning up after themselves. We've had tribes talk about how there was this sudden one of the tribes, actually my tribe in Klamath in southern Oregon, said that they're right on the highway from California. So they saw a dramatic increase over Memorial Day to their lakes. And then afterwards, they were trashed. So, and we've heard that over and over from tribal tourism offices that people aren't taking care when they visit our territories. So one of the things IANTA has done is we formed a partnership with Leave No Trace, which we'll be announcing very soon now, but to really look at how we can do more education and develop policies that will help us keep our areas clean and not impacted by the large number of visitors that are going to be expected. We know that the parks, the national parks and state parks have also had a number of articles about the problems that they've had.
And Gail, what about sharing a nation's story of just how much they have been impacted by the pandemic? Is that something you see tribal nations doing, or when they start tours up again in full speed of just letting people know this is how much it impacted, or, you know, or is it the approach of move on, move forward, and show the bright stuff? Any thoughts?
I think most people are going to just move forward, that they want to share the their resources and share their stories with the public. I think one of the nice things that came out of our tourism conference was one of the tribal leaders who said they educated the public to realize that they were on tribal land and that it was a not a right, but it was a privilege to be able to come onto tribal lands. And it sort of helped re-educate and people about tribal governance and tribal sovereignty. So I think that message came through a lot stronger during COVID times. People were shocked when the Blackfeet Nation closed one of the entrances to the national park there, because that was in their territory, so they had full right to do it. And a lot of people complained about it and protested it, but it all came down to, yes, they had the right to close their highway.
And what about mending those relationships? Any thoughts, any advice to people who are in this industry who are doing the mending?
Well, we've had some great partnerships developed with National Park Service, with the Forest Service, with BLM. A lot of the agencies, I think the Native Act is now starting to spread to the agencies, and they're realizing that, yes, they have a responsibility to tribes to develop relationships with them about tourism. We've often had other relationships, but never really about tourism. So now we're on their agenda, and they're starting to look for how they can support tribes and work with us. Just want to mention that one of the other things that we've done, and it's an ongoing project, we've released top 10 Native experiences for the last couple of years, and we just released our top 10 experiences for 2021. We also have a directory of tour operators, and there's some wonderful tours that are going on. Most of them have had to shut down, but some of them shifted their focus. Nez Perce Tourism in Idaho started an online store, because part of what their tours do is they feature the arts of their nation. So they shifted to an online tour, online store, which has been doing great. Sakari Botanicals in Oregon is a farm which also would do tours, but now they've gone online and they sell their produce online. And they have curbside pickup. And they said they've done very well during this time. Actually, a number of our food producers are doing very well with their online sales and curbside pickups, because people want to know where their food's coming from now. And in some areas where things weren't available, they found that they had outlets in their region that they could actually go and pick up food directly from the producers. So that's been a big help to our agritourism businesses.
We have all certainly evolved. And Gail, we got about a minute before we need to wrap up. Anything else you want to leave us with moving forward and creating that buzz and that vibrancy back to tribal tourism?
Well, we've seen a huge uptake in tribal tourism in the last few years. People are really interested in learning more about our nations and about our history and about our art and our culture, and to see these unspoiled lands. So I think that will continue. And I know it's on a number of our partners' agendas. We're doing a seminar this month called Go International, and we have two of the top tour operators who book tours throughout Indian country as well as the United States that are very interested in expanding their offerings, wanting to team up with tribes. So we're looking forward to this next year.
You know what? A lot of us are too. Well, Gail, thank you for that. Gail Chihak on the line with us. Also, thank you to Travis Owens, Darian Morissette, as well as Seleni Mattis. Thank you all for giving us a view into tribal tourism. And tomorrow we are back with a conversation about a year without in-person powwows. And we're also going to talk about what's in store for this year's powwow season. I'm Tara Gatewood. I hope you will make plans to join us. And you know what? You can even get the conversation started right now. You can post directly on our website, NativeAmericaCalling.com. Hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, or send us a tweet at 1-800-99-NATIVE. I'm Tara Gatewood. We'll meet you here tomorrow.
Native America Calling is supported by Oregon State University eCampus. The strength that comes from your tribal community can make all the difference in reaching your goals. Oregon State eCampus is committed to providing another source of strength with a supportive educational community that respects your culture. Earn your degree online, but not on your own. Visit ecampus.oregonstate.edu/Native America Calling.
Cancer ik sinyaur healthcare ikayo minyasi kanok tamna ikayo minyamaga nangijun kisipsi ingitjusi ikayo minyasi Indian healthcare provider kaisakangwasi tour minyasi healthcare.gov naka akila lugo kukula lugo 1-800-318-2596 una kaibluni Medicare Medicaid service kunin.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service. Music is by Brent Michael Davis. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.